Welcome to Ever Beyond.
Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh, yes, you are. This is JP, excuse me. Yes, that's better. This is JP, and welcome to Ever Beyond. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Where else in the world would it be? I don't know. It's spinning around. And it's spinning around in stars. Around the stars are clustered planets. Around the planets are clustered asteroids and moons and little bits of rock and other things in their tail that stretches away from the sun. Today we're going to be talking astrology, but we're also going to be talking asteroids in astrology. Most people are used to the idea, oh, I've got sun in Mercury. No, it's like, shut up. I'll tell the truth. And yeah, so I've got sun in Pisces, for instance, and moon in Aries and this and that ascendant. Ask someone, well, where's your Chiron and where's your Pallas Athena? And they'll go, what are you talking about? And tonight, my guest is someone who does know what she's talking about. Louisa Tanner Munson. We had a chat the other day. It was fun. So we're going to have a bigger chat now in front of all these people. And it's going to be fast moving. I hope you're going to be taking mental notes. Listen very carefully. There's some really good stuff here. So good evening, Louisa. And thank you for staying up because you're in Britain.
I sure am. Thanks, JP, for having me on your show.
We're
both staying up late tonight, aren't we?
Well, I stay up late every night. So I kind of live like this, but yeah. you have, your regular thing with normal people, who don't live in America all day,
I do have two little ones as well.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not sure they're normal.
produces a sort of circadian rhythm. Yeah. That keeps you in that sort of business world thing. Monday to Friday thing. Well, really, they keep you in some sort of strange semi-animated state until they're about 6 or 7, and then you can kind of wake up from this thing and like, what the hell was all that about?
You're right there.
That's parenthood for me. Anyway, so meanwhile, we've got bits of stuff floating around the solar system.
Yeah, and Sun and Uranus.
That's right. I mean, yeah, look.
You gotta be careful how you talk about that planet, haven't you, really?
Yeah, but like we're English and we can say Uranus. That's all I can say. I feel comfortable saying Uranus. I know there's a giggle factor, but that's what I grew up with. You know? It wasn't Uranus or Uranus. Anyway, it can be whatever you like. But
Uranus, that sounds quite dramatic.
Uranus sounds like Uranus fish, you know. But here's the thing. We are in a very special moment right now, astronomically, astrophysically, astrologically. I believe this is what has been called in the ancient prophecies the time of the crossing. Mm-hmm. It's a very special moment, and it's a bit like when you're just driving in your gears and you're going from first to second, and you've declutched between second and third, mm-hmm. and you're moving, and this is the time when the stick is moving, and it could slam it back into first, which would be a bad mistake, or you could move it into third, or you could even go into fifth. There's choice points
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
To where a soul can go. We are in this disengaged moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you would kind of agree with that. How long do you think this is going to last? As you know, in this,
ooh.
You know, and you know, how long have people got to basically look at their situation and decide that, you know, is there enough love in my life to guarantee me a place in heaven?
Ooh.
Sort of thing, you know.
Sort of thing. I like how you added the sort of thing.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, I don't want to, you know, go all biblical on you because I don't. I'm not a biblical kind of guy. But the idea that we're going to move into the fourth dimension, that's heaven. You know, into a place where we're able to manifest what we think. That's heaven.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, a paradisical, self-created, creative future that is free from the domination, effects of certain ancient empires. So, having started there, you can see where I'd like to kind of take this boat. Yes?
Yeah, I'm all for that because since our conversation yesterday, I've been looking at I guess we were talking around the lunar eclipse we just had yesterday, last night. The night before, and the themes that were going on, we've had this divine feminine vibe going on, but I guess what occurred on Friday was we were having an angry feminine voice coming up, like, you've been a very bad boy, you know, that kind of like chiding where people are actually getting ready to be judgmental and to shake their finger and say, no, we want to do something about this. So I was thinking, right, we've got the solar eclipse coming up in 2 weeks' time. It's always useful to look at both sides of the eclipse to see what energy is coming through. And it's actually quite shocking, the change in the energy from the lunar eclipse just 2 days ago to what's happening on the 26th of February of this month. Because you're talking about time, and I guess the thing that I'm looking at when I'm looking at this chart is that there's this timelessness and also something so deeply shocking that it could shake the conscious thought out of us. So we'd almost enter into no time. That's just one interpretation of it. But there's epic themes going on. And I guess, you know, I think it's going to happen at different times for every different person because, that's just my take. But I think people who are ready for something to occur, then the next couple of weeks are really quite pivotal. And I'm happy to go as deep as you'd like into it right now. It's entirely up to you. But there are some really great things. Were you aware in 2014 there was this great big grand square in astrology that all the astrologers were bleating on about for months? And it was this huge, slow, static square, mainly formed with Pluto in Capricorn, Uranus, there you go. That's what I learned it as. Uranus in Aries. We had Mars in Libra at that time and Jupiter in Cancer. And so they were all diametrically opposed to each other, creating this huge, great big square of massive tension. And throughout the year, different planets would keep adding themselves into it. And anyone born around that time, early January, early July, early April and early October were really in this pattern of resistance and being forced into change quite quickly. This new moon and solar eclipse that's happening is picking up on that theme because Pluto and Uranus are still in a big old square. They've been dancing around that for quite some time. They're not exactly square, but Mars. Mars is conjunct Uranus at that moment of the eclipse. Jupiter is completely opposite it. And we've got Vesta, the asteroid that I wanted to talk to you about, that is also sort of like providing another counterbalance. So this whole theme has come up again, just a few degrees moved on in the cardinal signs. And they're the action signs. They're the signs that get things moving. So we've got a review point. So for people that were suffering back in 2014, which is loads of people, loads of stuff was happening, dark, dark stuff. That's all coming back for a review. And that hasn't even, I haven't even spoken about what happens with the moon and the sun at that time, at the time of the eclipse. So just that on its own is quite aggressive. Do you want me to tell you more? JP?
All right, I think you see. I mean, you're talking about it, so, right? And hang on, let me just plug everything back in. I had a little, I got a little stove, right? I just had a little crisis. I got a little stove and I bought this little thing and had milk, this little saucepan to heat the coffee milk for, and it spilt and it's gone everywhere and it went in the keyboard. And then I've been trying to clean the keyboard and that's why you heard the sound in the thing. And, and there's stuff everywhere. There's milk all over the floor, all over the desk. It's a mess. Anyway, meanwhile. So and that's the kind of shit that happens. And you can, speak freely.
There's probably is an asteroid somewhere called Spilt Milk. I mean, there are asteroids named everything.
Yeah, because there's a lot of them. And I know it's all the Pleiadians' fault because we blew up Maldek and there's created loads of loads of
yeah,
asteroids.
We've got tons of asteroids in between Mars and Jupiter.
Yeah.
Well, there's one asteroid that comes up quite a bit, and when I wasn't aware of this one because there's thousands of them. But whenever I look at a chart, when I draw up a chart for a particular time, I always look at the asteroids that are exact and conjunct, like the sun and the moon, or any of the main players in a set piece, so to speak. And there are two that really struck out. And one of them, when I did a bit of research onto it, I was like, oh, crikey, no way. It's called Apophis, or Apophis.
Apophis.
Apophis. Do you know that name?
Because I watched Stargate, right?
Yes. Well, that is the
and Apophis was one of the worst badass bad guy. Were they gold? Yeah.
Like the serpent of chaos, the bringer of destruction. A bit
and
like
the spiller
Carly.
Of milk. He is definitely the spiller of milk.
So Apophis is exactly conjunct the moon and the sun at the time of the solar eclipse on the 26th. So anyone
on, say that again.
Born.
Say that again. My brain went awry. Say that again about Apophis.
Apophis. So he's the bringer of destruction and chaos. The serpent of chaos. Now, interestingly, it's a serpent from ancient times. So for anyone that's got a connection with things like Kundalini healing and things like that, that would have extra significance for you. Anyone born around the time of the 26th of February, I mean, obviously on that day, it's going to be quite a huge day for you, and could mark a very significant next period, because it's got such a strong thing. But I think what it's asking us to do, actually, is to look at our darkness. So, you know, obviously on a collective level, the darkness, the serpent of chaos, like chaos is descending, the darkness is descending, and people will be aware of like the collective darkness. I think this is a shit or bust time, if it's okay for me to have said that. Sorry, James.
Well, no, I just look at how you go. We all,
it's a fact of life.
It's a fact of life. We eat and it comes out. So I don't see why there's a problem. All right. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so it is a time where you have to make a decision very quickly, and that is, you know, am I going to descend into darkness, or am I going to recognize that the collective darkness going on around me, I'm part of, and I've been complicit in for some time? Because we're all complicit in it, in one way or another, no matter how conscious we are. It's virtually impossible to live in a way that is cruelty-free and is full of love, because, you know, just to put clothes on, even if you're recycling clothes and stuff, you know, when you look down the chain of how things have been made, you know, blood has been shed in every part of our life, you know, without me trying to put a downer on the whole evening. You know, so I think the full extent of our collective guilt is going to come forth for those who are ready for it, and for those who are ready to say, I'm done with it, or for those who are ready to acknowledge, okay, there has been some destruction and I've been part of it. However, I'm making a clear choice now. I think it's a time when the sleepers are awaking. And I think they're waking up to a nightmare initially if they're not very aware of it. So I think people who are born around the 26th of February, this is happening right on your natal sun. And, you know, if you're born a few days either side, then you're going to be feeling this brewing because Apophis is just making his way nicely through the end of
grinding and crunching its way, steamrolling its way through the sign.
Ready to line up.
Yeah.
So,
the thing, you know, just I want to add to this, there's other people who are born on, for instance, the 26th of August, the 26th of, what would that be, June?
Yep.
And the 26th, and the 26th of December. Mm-hmm. Those will also be affected by the square angles of that.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Those built more, 26th of October and 26th of, let me see if I can get it right. That'll be 26th of June. Yeah, mm-hmm. 26th of June. We'll be receiving the trine, the beneficial angles of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Cancers and Scorpios and Pisces will get it. We'll get the nice energy and everybody else will be pissed off by them.
you can take that view and I would definitely support what you just said there, JP, for sure. One thing that I would also say is, if you're not born around those times, don't worry, because we can look at your chart now. If you want to get in the chat room and pop in your details, because, for instance, I'm a Sagittarius, but my moon is in Pisces and my moon is exactly in the place of where this eclipse is happening. So it's going to have an effect on me. And when you have a look at your birth chart, when you have a look at where it is, if you've got any planets in those places that JP mentioned or around between 8 and 9 degrees of Pisces, then this is an energy that is going to be working with you. But that's not the extent of the energy, because we've also got the huge grand square that is in the cardinal signs as well. And the thing that has made me go, oh crikey, that's quite difficult, is we've had Mars squaring up to Uranus for quite some time. Not squaring up, but sort of like buddying up, coming into a nice conjunction at the sort of 21 degrees Aries. That's been happening slowly but surely and getting more and more exact. At the time of this eclipse, they're as exact as they can be, really. They're only just a few seconds apart from each other. They're in the same place. So if you think Mars is deeply masculine, it's to do with our aggressions, our natural drives, our passions, that unstoppable part of ourselves that if left unchecked would have us rape and pillage and just take what we want. You know, it's that side of us that is so motivated that we almost forget that, you know, we're part of a group. It's that single-mindedness. So you've got that energy and it's matched up with Uranus energy, which is, well, explosive, expansive, awakened, surprising, electronic, futuristic. But like most astrologers, when they see Uranus and Mars together, think explosion. Cause you got,
yeah,
like, fire energy.
That's like, almost empty petrol can and a flint lighter.
Yes, but it's really, really funny that you should say that, because I actually described it to my husband earlier. I said, well, you know what, it feels like, you know, that there's some like tinder just out, you know, like someone's collected some firewood and it's been a really hot day, everything's like called off. Because one of the other planets that's involved in this grand square is Vesta. Vesta,
yeah, that's telling me.
So we needed someone to just walk past with some matches, fling one on the floor accidentally, and it goes whoosh.
Wow.
So, and of course, Vesta, the asteroid, the goddess asteroid Vesta, is the keeper of the sacred flame. So right. We've got this dry tinder, this explosive energy just set in place. And then we've got the keeper of the sacred flame just igniting it all, saying, this is what I'm passionate about. And boy, there's some real darkness I've seen. And we need to cleanse this because, you know, I don't think I can allow my soul to absorb any more of this.
Okay. So what I'm hearing here is, this is a cosmic fire ceremony, isn't it?
Could very well be, yeah.
And the fire ceremony to burn up the dross that has been that has collected in humanity, and however that may manifest, I think if you consciously make fire and consciously do this, it won't unconsciously occur. Do you see what I mean? If you embrace the fire in your life,
yeah.
And bring it in and honor and respect it, then it will cleanse you. If you do not embrace it, it will burn you.
Yeah, it really will burn you bad. I think that's a very good interpretation of it. One thing I would also add is, Jupiter is one of the planets involved in the Grand Square. And this is the other thing actually that I just a little aside, the new moon, the last new moon, there were lots and lots of 22s, like planets at 22 degrees and 11 degrees. So were lots of master numbers. And I noticed that the, lunar eclipse just a couple of days ago, it was all 22 degrees as well. And this one is by no means any different. We've got, Jupiter, I'm looking at right now, is at 22 degrees 30 in Libra and is exactly conjunct at 22 degrees 49. I mean, that's so, you know, it's very, very conjunct. Aphrodite. Now, it's interesting that you're talking about burning up because Aphrodite is one of the love asteroids, but it's that passionate love, the one that will eat you alive if you don't go forth and, you know, get jiggy with it.
That's funny. My meditation tonight was about, there was a certain thing about being eaten alive. That's very strange. So yeah.
It's bringing forth sexual energy.
So yeah, it can consume you or it can feed you.
Exactly. So I think, especially with it being in Libra, which is traditionally a romantic sign, sometimes a bit on the fickle side, but it's traditionally
on the fickle side. But anyway, we don't mind because we have Libra rising here.
Well, my daughter is Libra rising and Libra moon, so I've got to learn to love the Libra sides of things and get to know it. So we've got Aphrodite and Libra, which will make love and all things to do with, you know, this unstoppable passion like crushes and things like that linked in with Jupiter. And Jupiter is the planet of expansion. So we've got our appetites and our desires unchecked at this time. So we've got Jupiter and Aphrodite on one side of this great big opposition, exactly opposite Mars and Uranus, which is the dry tinder, ready to be set fire to. Then we've got Pluto at a midpoint in Capricorn. It's been there for a while. And that's really, I think, indicative of the authorities. So if you think Capricorn, they're sort of ambitious and quite, the energy of it is meticulousness. It's slow and
steady. They're the party poopers. I like Sean's interpretation. They're the ones that go around like shutting down things because of health and safety. They're all Capricorns.
Yes. Yeah. And, but they do it slowly. So the people who have the master plans, who have been planning things for eons, and have been able to take their time to do it nice and slowly are having a field day right now because Pluto's in there and it's bullish and it's transforming and it's kind of permanent. So there's like really strong, heavy authority on one side, sort of really adding to the tension of the passions, people wanting to live and be romantic and feel their sovereignty. On the other hand, being really, really aggressive and narky. And then you've got Vesta exactly opposite Pluto, which is firing up this whole load of activism is what I'm seeing. And so you've got all of this playing off whilst you've got the sun and the moon at 8 degrees Pisces. Now, Pisces is the 12th sign of the zodiac. It's to do with the unconscious brain. It's to do with all of our unconscious patterns. It's to do with being asleep. It's to do with nightmares. It's to do with illusion. It's to do with all that stuff that we hide in our attic or hide in our cellar, all of our secrets, all the stuff that's been hidden. And as that's happening, we've got the serpent of chaos just flying through the cosmos to line up at that exact moment to bring forth pretty much whatever we want to have revealed is going to be revealed. So I see this as the start of a very, very cleansing time. Like you say, with a fire ceremony, you know, you can cleanse yourself if you're consciously aware of it. But for people who aren't aware of their darkness and can't accept any of the darkness that is within them, for people that see the darkness of everyone else, but not within them, they're going to have a very tough time of it because they're going to wake up and realize that the world they're in doesn't match who they are, and they won't be able to process any of the darkness if they can't acknowledge it in themselves. So this is a pretty, pretty tense time.
Wow. And, wow, that's brilliant. So, yeah, so there's
one more aspect I just want to mention. Okay. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's a checklist. Have you ever come across that name before?
I'll spell that one for us.
E-C-H-E-C-L-U-S, a checklist, or a, I'm just going to call it a checklist.
Well, well, probably says something, a checklist or something. But yeah. Sounds like checklist, doesn't it? Anyway, so the checklist planet.
There's not much information about the energy of that particular asteroid, although it's listed as a centaur, which is part of a load of different beings, like the centaurs, like Chiron, and loads of other little bits and pieces that we look at in astrology. But this little one here is also listed as a comet. So there's a little bit of mystery around it, first of all, about its origination. But the information I have found about it is that it distorts time in some way. It gives us all a new perspective, and it makes us look at past, present, and future, and also some form of time travel, and that it is so stunning and so shocking that time stops or time changes and the way we view things. So I think this could be to do with timelines. It could be that timelines are meeting. It could be that we get to zero point energy. Who knows? It might be that things start moving so fast. I suppose if you think about the Schumann resonance and its massive peaks that are happening right now. I mean, most people are having this sense of, wow, time is rapidly speeding up. You know, what's going on? Things are changing. There's some kind of timelessness going on, and that is echoed and almost, there's a snapshot of it at this time of the solar eclipse. But this asteroid, to do with time travel and past, present, future, new perspectives, timelines and things like that, is also exactly conjunct Uranus and Mars. So it could be to do with a mass awakening at one level, like at the highest potential. It could be that the darkness all comes out, everything is revealed, and there's a mass awakening. It could be that people from a different timeline or from a different density, all of a sudden all is revealed and people go, whoa. But whatever this is a pretty big chart. It's pretty epic.
Wow. Okay, so look, here we go. So here's a what if. What if what we're talking about is that there's an alternative dimension where the Nazis won the war, that is merging with this dimension, mm-hmm. where they didn't quite. They lost the European war, but they threw it, and they infiltrated everywhere else. But still, it's, you know, they haven't quite, you know, put the iron clamp around the world yet. And that's what we're looking, they were trying to plan it so that they could do that, but, time travel wars by people time traveling backwards and forwards, thwarting each other's plans. You know, it's a real spy versus spy thing. And, thwarting each other's plans, until this moment where there's no time left
to make any adjustments. And what happens is, instead of it being about the warring factions, it's about how we feel about it and where we want to go. Because
yes.
there's a one faction that wants to take us down one timeline, there's another faction that wants to take us down another timeline, but actually there's an organic timeline where humanity says, look, screw you bastards, mm-hmm. We're going our own way. We've got our own, and that's what all the science fiction films have been saying. That's the human way, the human resonance is rising, yeah. let's say that.
Yes.
So, now you're talking about eclipses and their length of effect, you know, so you might get an aspect of the moon and it might last for a few hours, but an eclipse yeah. has a much longer reverberation. So yeah. talk about that, can you?
I mean, I see every birth chart as a moment in time that takes you until the next conscious moment in time that you decide is the next moment in time that is taking your new direction. So the eclipse doesn't have to take you until the next eclipse if you're ready to take the information from it, and then you find yourself another time that you think, wow, that looks great. Because I almost look at birth charts, or like a chart which represents a moment in time, I look at them as portals, energy portals that you can surf through and under. In actual fact, I wrote a couple of books. Sadly, they're out of date now because they were based for 2015 and 2016. But they were books to help you find the right time to get married. So, you know, if someone was planning their wedding, they could plan the best time for the kind of marriage that they wanted, because every event that happens in your life is effectively a new birth chart. So, I do know of astrologers that, and other people who decide to marry the same person again because they find a better chart and think, okay, that's my new starting point. So eclipses, to my view, they are a new start, and they're a time that you can put down new intentions and new ways of being and new ideas about where you want to go and how you want your life to evolve. So you can kind of surf on those energies. It's like catching a wave and thinking, I'm going to wait for the best wave to start this new project. So ideally that eclipse energy could last you to the next eclipse. We have a lunar and a solar eclipse at sort of between February, March, April time, and then we have the same again at the opposite time of the year. So it could keep you going for the 6 months leading up to the next eclipse. I find that kind of long-term planning a little annoying, so I tend to go on a month-to-month basis. But the next points that I would refer to after eclipses would be the equinoxes and solstices. So for instance, when we get to 0 point Aries at the time of the equinox, then that marks another point. And the chart at the exact moment of the equinox would describe the energies going forward. And you can think, oh, okay, that's so. When I work with clients, I really like to be able to bring up all these different charts and say, okay, so what is it you're hoping to do this year? And I'll find the key points, which equinox works best with their chart to make the most of it, so that they can set up their business at the right time, or get married at the right time, or plan for a child at the right time. So, I mean, obviously life happens anyway.
Yeah. But the way I've always been looking at it is like a cycle. Is like when you fire an arrow, if you fire an arrow high up into the air, it will go quite a long way. But if you fire it too high up, it will stall and kind of come down and hit you. And likewise, if your angle is too shallow, it will just drop on the ground in front of you. So, the idea of what you're talking about is when you make a new beginning of something that you get the energies when they're all on the rise, so your arrow rises up with the current of this, there are different flavors. And I love the way you talk about flavors, because it very much resonates with what I've been talking about, on my shows. It's all about flavors and textures of sound like geometric form and things like that, that makes up our universe. And that's what we are. That's what the Matrix is. It's what, you know, it's all around us. I work with what they call the seven rays, and it has archetype energies which translate into these things. You know, everything in the third dimension is a result of let's say fifth dimensional soul and its third dimensional personality. Yeah, and that what determines something's energy is what the soul is trying to do with versus how the personality is resisting or not. And so our evolution is that our personality realizes its relationship with the soul and then allows the soul to move through it without resistance by recognizing what it is of the soul. And in that's been completely legendified, turned into a myth or a story that that's at all possible, but it should be happening with every single human being about the age of 35.
Right.
So what if your 35th birthday occurs on that 26th of February?
Well, that would be a really interesting time for you.
Wouldn't it?
You know, if you, well, I mean, one thing, I mean, I don't know much about the seven rays that, that you speak of, although I did have a friend that wrote a book about it. But one thing I do look at with clients is I will do what's known as a solar return chart, which is effectively like a birthday chart. So when the sun comes back to the exact degree that it was at the exact time of your birth, then that marks your new year ahead. Now, it may or may not actually occur on your birthday. Your astrological birthday might be the day before your actual birthday or the day after. I try and celebrate my birthday now on my astrological birthday because it makes more sense to me. But the chart that comes up really does describe your year ahead. It's quite uncanny. And it's quite useful as well if you're in partnerships to look at both of your years ahead, because for people that do a lot of work together, you would expect to see similar themes reflected in their year ahead. So to get back to your question, which is if you were turning 35 at, you know, the 26th of February, if that marks the astrological start of their birthday, that would be a pretty epic year, is what I would say. I know that my life completely turned around on my 35th birthday, pretty much. Give or take a month or two, my life has just like totally changed. But, yeah, it's a very, very epic, signature, because on the day of the solar eclipse, you've got also got the asteroid Talent is, also in the mix with, Apophis and the moon and the sun. So not only are you looking at your darkness, but you're looking at your light, the stuff that comes out of you almost like a gift, you know, that thing that you can't even keep inside anymore because it's who you are. So there's a lot of creativity around for people who are born at that time. Definitely.
Fabulous.
But I'd have to look at the exact chart for each individual person, because obviously where they're born is going to make a difference to how the chart's pulled up. But it's a pretty exciting year ahead, that's for sure. For anyone having their birthdays around now.
Yeah.
And one of my friends gave birth to a baby yesterday. I was going to, like, I don't want to out my friend particularly, but I was thinking, well, that child has got such an epic birth chart background at the moment. Children being born at the moment are real, really strong characters.
Yeah. These are the arrows that are pointing high enough to go far.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that, you know, that's a huge charge. It's like an electric charge as they come into this world. So, where are we? Wow, that was quick.
Did I answer that question okay?
Yeah, I mean, we're 45 minutes into the first hour. That was, wow. Okay, so where should we go? So there's the eclipse on the 26th. And I know you want to talk more about that, but we've just had an eclipse. What it's been a weird week. You know, I had a really nice afternoon with a friend. We just were, you know, and then I came back and there were like six crises just opening up, like all from different vectors.
Yeah.
And all the way, you know, it's like, you know, ameliorate one by one by one by one. It's, you know, it's like being, an antacid tablet. Cause everything was just fizzing up, you know, it's like, oh, come on. But I realized, you know, like what is, you're kidding me, aren't you? You know, kind of thing. So what has been going on the last week? And particularly, what are the lessons that are involving this moment? Or if they're not lessons, what is the direction that we're moving in?
From my perspective, I think we're going to a time of honesty, which for some people they might be thinking of disclosure, and not necessarily disclosure about what exists outside of our worldview. It could be disclosure of a whole heap of things that go on right under our noses that we're not aware of, or that we choose to turn a blind eye to.
Because
I think most of us are aware of the little whispers that our unconscious minds tell us about. And I think that's what causes so many spikes in mental health issues, and illnesses for people. I think most of us are aware that, what we think of as life as we know it isn't exactly as we think it is. And I think people are having little whispers in their head and they're thinking something's not quite right. You know, why can't I cope with this life? Why can't I cope? And it's really great because the way our life has been set up is to put all the blame and the onus on the person. So we're all saying, oh man, why can't I cope? Why am I so sick? Why is my life not working? Well, it's because you're trying to adapt yourself into a really, truly sick society. It's not really.
That's right. Fault. You're actually sane. The world is insane.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I think that's one of the things that's going on collectively at the moment, because we've got Neptune. Oh, well, Neptune's also in this mix as well. Neptune's currently
left. Oh, right. As if things weren't bad enough. We can't even see clearly.
Yeah, exactly. Neptune, at its lowest level, at its lowest sort of vibrational level,
Neptune.
Neptune is, yeah, really low, is our murkiness.
Murky, oh yeah, like Loch Ness.
If you, I mean, Neptune rules the seas. If you imagine a real stagnant pond, and it's got layers and layers of silt and muck.
Yeah, that's Loch Ness.
Being cleansed. okay, Loch Ness. So there's lots of stuff in it and you don't even know what's in that layer because you can't even see it, and you put your hand in it or your foot in it and you just sink down into it. There's a whole load of murkiness that people aren't aware of, and that, you know, having anyone with a really strong Pisces signature or even just a water signature in their charts is going to be connected into the Neptune in the 12th house. You know, it's bringing stuff out of the unconscious mind. But, you know, moreover than that, we've got, at 22 degrees, so we've got Neptune at 11 degrees and Chiron, the wounded healer, at 22 degrees Pisces. So again, we've got these two master numbers currently, but Chiron kind of points out what our Achilles heel is and our sore spot, you know, the thing that, that place that we can't go to, that unmentionable place where if someone says something to you, you put your hand up and you say, no, I draw the line there. I can't go there. And it's because it's too painful. And that's in Pisces as well. And this has been happening for a long time. So people have been aware of this secretly in their dreams. Their unconscious minds have been saying, wake up, wake up. You know, there's something going on and it's in like a dreamlike state, but it puts so much fear and pain in people's hearts that they say, must stay asleep. And they put these horse blinkers around their eyes and just look straight ahead. You know, they get in their cars and they distract themselves. And that's the other great thing about Pisces and Neptune, is this love of creativity and distraction. Pisces are really good at distracting themselves and finding all sorts of chaos.
You're telling me.
I've got such a strong Pisces signature in my chart. So I completely, you know, I think of myself myself in Piscean terms too, so I'm with you on that one, JP. Mm-hmm. We can completely confuse and distract ourselves if we need to.
Sorry.
Wow, where did that come from? Are you diving into your emotions?
That's right, that's diving into the emotions.
So I think this is quite a critical time for people. You know, we are aware of the whispers that have been going on, and so this is a time of waking up. At the highest expression, Neptune symbolizes love. So that's two sides of the coin. You know, a lot of people have already been going through their pain and thinking, okay, if I don't face it, it's just going to stay there. Let's go through this. Let's try and process this. And they're moving towards a vibration of love, and that's great. And you can see that because we come across people every day in our lives that are inspiring, and you think, crikey, how come you've chosen to be so inspiring? You've had such an awful deal in your life, and yet you've transcended it. There are heroes out there everywhere you turn. It's just, it's not advertised on our media platforms so much. So there is this murkiness and then this beautiful transcendence existing. And I think we have the choice of where we want to float to. Do we want to sink down, or do we want to float ourselves up? And in many respects, the sensitive people are like the canaries in the coal mine. We feel it ahead of time. And if, you know, anyone was trying to control us, I put myself in that category, obviously, because I just said us. If anyone was trying to control, you know, the world, they would be looking at the sensitive people to see what's going on. And, you know, for decades, mental health issues have been skyrocketing because people can't cope. But there are lots of people coming through the other side now. So I think this could be a time of real confusion or huge rapid ascension and awakening. I think it's quite exciting. The whole idea of serpent of chaos, if that's Kundalini, people could be having Kundalini awakenings if they're ready for it. So I think, yeah, the times are potent. I don't know if I answered that question at all.
Well, you know, there's well, there's Neptune, you know.
Yes.
Well, you talk about Neptune, yeah.
I'm a Sagittarius, Moon in Pisces, so I'm really ruled by Jupiter and Neptune. If you could get anything more nebulous and expansive, it's me.
Oh, right. A real flower child, huh?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. As far as I'm concerned, the disclosure is a five-stage process. This is what I've come up with. You know, just like, cause what, all right. I made this website started a few years ago, but it's called the galacticfreealliance.com or galacticfreealliance.com. And the event, I just wrote this, first the arrests, which will also include apparent deaths and resignations. Then the release of wealth and debt will be universally forgiven. And then disclosure. And disclosure is this. Number one, who you are. Number two, who they are. Mm-hmm. Number three, what they did. And four, what you're now needing to do. And then five is the new beginning. So there's certain stages that we need to awaken, you know. So first you wake up, then you get your cold. No, then you turn on the kettle, then you go for a pee. You know, that's there are more stages to waking up than just waking up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And it could get really messy.
Well, here's the thing. We've been deluded we have been led into an illusion about who we are, and that's going to come to an end. And this is the first one is we need to remember, we need to find out, we need to, or maybe we don't need to, because it's going to happen, because the machinery, and it's a technology that has kept that happening, is going to be switched off. It's like the end of They Live. Somebody's going to break the TV transmitter that projects a signal that is holding everybody in a slave mentality and unable to see the aliens who live among us. They live among us. That's what the film means, is they live among us. So, essentially...
It's a real Truman Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's the Matrix. The Truman Show is the whole thing. You know, we've been held into a delusion. And as you say, you know, these are bubble realities. For instance, and, you know, even language can do it.
Yeah.
Because you can, you start making, statements, I'm not even going to say it, in a certain, with reference to certain books.
Yes.
And then people's mindsets go, and no longer are they open, and they're going to be quoting, they're going to be talking about things that they've been told about that this book contains that is actually not usually the case either. So
well, people also say, oh, it's scientifically proven. All you have to put on the end of anything is it's scientifically proven. And then all of a sudden people's, they just accept it. It's like this little phrase that just goes into people's brains.
Clickbait. Clickbait.
Yeah. And it may or may not be true. Chances are it probably won't be true.
Unlikely to be true. But the thing is, you know, you can scientifically prove, and you can statistically prove, but is it right? Does it make everybody feel good? Is it going to be beneficial down to the seventh generation and all that stuff?
Yeah.
You know, there are absolutes against which you can judge whether something's good or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, raping a planet and strip mining it for everything that it's got, including all the people, is obviously not, you know, nobody's going to enjoy that, you know, spreading misery and chaos. So, that's got to stop. And really, we're here to stop it by letting go of their programming to us. And it's like, you know, now we know, for instance, all right, here's the thing. Yeah. Now we know that the royal family are just, at least murderous, right? They're at least murderous. Okay? We know that they're the biggest.
Are you trying to get me to agree online?
I don't know. Let me just say, you know, they had Diana killed, right? You know, everybody knows that.
I did watch that documentary. Yeah.
Everybody knows that because the Secret Service are there to serve the secrets of the royal family. That's what they're for. That's what the Secret Service does. That's the service that they secret, the secrets that they service, the truth about the royal family. And now we're beginning to learn because the internet is brilliant and you can find out all sorts of things because people tell their stories. And even though they're individual people's stories are en masse, they build up a really great big kind of fractal picture. Oh, we can see exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And that's part of this moment. As you're saying, there's an awakening happening that we're all starting to see. Oh, hang on. Yeah, Jimmy Savile wasn't just like an isolated incident. He was the tip of the iceberg, which is what we've been saying all along. But I mean, those who have been following this have been saying this all along. However, people in general is starting to filter out. You know, the 6% is jumping the gap. And so there are ripples of this consciousness that are coming out. And at first, as you're saying, it's horrific. It's horrific because we're going to have to reevaluate everything that we thought we were safe about, that was safe in our world.
You're not wrong, actually. I mean, I don't know anything that you've said as factual experience from my own actual life. Instinctively, I know that the things that you're saying make complete sense to me, and that would be where I put my belief system. I would agree with you, but I can't hand on heart say I've experienced it physically and I know it to be true. However, when there were, well, one of our wedding guests was very candid with me and spoke up about some experience that she had been put through as a child at the hands of some very famous people. And it shocked me to my core. And sure enough, you know, one of those people was one of the people that came out, you know, BBC related and stuff. And you know, when even though I've not experienced it firsthand, when somebody that you personally know has, then it becomes very, very real. Yeah, it's deeply shocking. Yeah, I've had quite a few different experiences along the way where I've had to re-evaluate my belief system quite considerably in the last 7 years. And it's quite painful at first because your whole life has been premised on this illusion. Your whole life is premised on, you know, being a good student, being obedient to your parents, following laws. And really the emphasis should be put on following your moral compass and developing your moral compass, recognizing what feels right in your body and learning to trust your instincts. You know, pretty much the way we live our lives has been set up to shut down our instinctual knowledge and to shut down our intuition and to shut down the feelings in our body, to disconnect our brain and our stomach. I mean, our stomach is like the primary brain, really.
Yeah.
You know, it, you know, when you're really connected to, your whole body, you can make completely different decisions. But a lot of us are in such an impoverished, state health-wise that we can't possibly begin to make those leaps in consciousness because we're not connected to our own bodies, our own physicality. It makes it really difficult to be able to make those choices. Because we've been conditioned to stay in our head, stay in our head, stay in our head. Don't go to the heart. Don't go to the heart. you know, we've been veered off to do these strange things and to screw each other over in just for the, in the name of earning more money or something. It's crazy. And I think people are going to awaken to that. So I've had 7 years to get used to this, but I think what's happening now is, and I will never get used to it because every now and again there's a bombshell that comes up and I'm like, you're kidding. No way. I can't believe that. And I sit down, I think, oh no, that probably is true actually. It's almost like the more outlandish these things are, the more accurate they tend to be.
Yeah, the weirder and stranger they sound, the more likely they are to be true. Listen, what's weird?
We're going to have the benefit of that time.
We've done 1 hour. That's it. That's, you know, that's whizzed by that quick. So yeah. That's another surprise. We are now 45 seconds indeed into tomorrow. So it's time for a break. Everybody needs to relax and release their, the nether parts, and especially those in the Netherlands. And here's a bit of Jeff Beck, because he'll cheer anybody. I don't know what planet Jeff Beck's from. He's not from this planet. He's from somewhere else, and it's stunning. Yes, and welcome back to Ever Beyond with JP. And tonight my guest is Louisa Tanner Munson, speaking from England, and,
nice echo.
Linton Kwesi Johnson. That probably didn't make any sense to anybody. Google it. Linton Kwesi Johnson. K-W-E-Z-I Johnson. Yeah. Anyway, Sonny's Letter. That's the name of the band. Anyway. you get it on YouTube. Maybe I'll put it on later. Anyway, God, such associations. Listen, we're talking about some really, current, pertinent astrology here, because astronomy and astrology are all converging. You know, things are actually happening on the physical plane as well as on the subtle planes that astrology usually affects. You know, people are always going, oh, astrology can't possibly work because those things are far too far away and everything dies off. But then we find out that gravitational waves don't have a kind of die-off thing like light waves, and therefore gravity can affect something at a great distance. And
also, sorry to interrupt. That's also based on the information that we've been given that the sun and the moon are those exact distances that we've been told they are. Does anyone actually know that as verifiably true?
Well, you know the previous host was saying that we didn't go to the moon, and her dad worked in the military industrial complex that that determined that they were going to go to the moon or not. So What do you believe? So, yeah, who knows what the moon is? I've had a guest who says that the moon is not 250,000 miles away, but considerably closer and only 12 miles big. I don't know. How do I know? Who am I? You know?
Exactly.
So.
I mean, I have my thoughts and theories about all sorts of things, but ultimately I'm really happy to, put my hands up and say, I don't know anything about anything. And so even though, like, I'm your guest today talking about astrology, I still don't actually know that that's true. My experience currently is that it is true. And in the 31 years that I've been looking at it, I've had moments where I've fallen out with astrology and kind of broken up with it and said, no, I can't go to it. And then I come back and I think, oh no, there is something in it. We all have our systems of belief that help support us and nourish us, or, you know, that don't, but none of us can actually verifiably say anything about anything. And I think that's one of the points that we're going to be coming to, in this now scenario, is that the energies are changing so much that nobody knows anything, and we have to learn to just be okay with that. That's just my thoughts, though.
Yeah.
Probably not sponsored by the BBC or anything like that.
Well, look, we're going to have to come to terms with that. BBC, for instance, you know, like, you know, you're in Britain, right? You've experienced this whole thing in the last few years that the BBC, who have been stealing money like an extortionist for all of our lives, and it was normal. Mm-hmm. We buy a TV license.
Yeah.
And there were such terrible threats. Oh, you're a thousand years in prison in a dungeon if you don't pay your TV license. And then we find out that actually there's no law that says, you know, that's okay. And that it's not, you know, it's not lawful. So, and then we start finding out about the BBC being complicit in what used to be called corruption. Now, we used to think corruption, oh, they take a bob or two. Oh, somebody will send them a crate of whiskey every year. You know, a little bit of bribery. Yeah, that's normal. Yeah. Bit of backsheesh. That's fine. Oh, blended babies and, no, that's not good. It's like, that's too corrupt. That's far, far, far too corrupt. More corrupt than I can even imagine.
I just remember being very shocked, seeing them reporting about the, third building coming down on September the 11th. 9/11.
Oh yeah.
You know, saying that this building had come down in exactly the same way as the other two had, the Twin Towers, and you actually could see the footage of this completely normal tower behind. You know, they just reported it a little. So they obviously were doing what they were told to do.
Yeah, reading off scripts.
Truth. Yeah.
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 And you know, I tell you the weirdest thing and the weirdest signature. Cause I think to myself, okay, so 9/11 was an inside job. Who planned it? Who did this planet? Who did the fine detail of like what that guy on the street said? And I always came up with this weird feeling that I had about it that it wasn't scripted by a human. It was scripted by something that had read loads of books, that read loads of dialect or dialogue, and that imagined this is how dialogue actually goes in reality. But if you listen very carefully to the people who are interviewed, who are obviously part of the, you know, the plan, whether they were conscious or not, perhaps, you know, perhaps they've used a lot of mind control and triggers to run this thing, have to make this thing happen. They could have been programming people for years to make all this happen at that time. But the weird thing is that the way they speak is like it's somebody wrote it in a book rather than the way that a person naturally describes a real situation. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I think a lot of us are questioning the news quite heavily these days. You know, I mean, just so much of it doesn't add up anymore. And, you know, like with Facebook Live and, you know, smartphones, every situation can just be recorded at a drop of a hat. And you know, we are realizing that a lot of stuff we've taken for granted and as truthful isn't based on that at all. You know, it's just one person's view of things against another's. And, you know, the faction that's got the most influence and the most money is probably the one that's going to get their message across.
Well.
You know, sounds quite sad, doesn't it? But
that's, well, this is, well, here's, you know, and this is what I've been thinking about today. Where are you, I mean, in terms of, planetary motion, galactic motion, the shift of the ages, basically. We're moving from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, for the rays, that means we're moving from ray 6 of devotion and fanaticism to ray 7, of, freedom of thought and of, collective mind, you know, a benign, galactic mind collective. And there are people who are hanging on for grim death right now. And this is probably the big wave that is going to shift all of that, isn't it?
I would imagine so. I mean, these days I try not to, I guess like when you start to awaken to the thoughts that maybe what you've thought as normal your whole life isn't, you, like, you know, you're talking about stages of awakening. I always think there's stages of activism or stages of, you know, pulling the veils back. And I think the first one is that people are like, denial. No way. No, definitely not. And then they go to bloody anger, don't they? They become really self-righteous and, oh my God, everyone has to know about this right now. Like maybe denial, then fear, like this massive fear that, oh my God, what can I do? Followed by this anger, this burning anger. I went through this really angry phase. And like, if you were to look at my astrology at that time, you'd have gone, wow, you're being triggered really a lot there. But what I realized was, is that I wasn't influencing many people. There were only a couple of people that were, actually listening to what I was saying. And that's because they were going through similar experiences. So I guess over the last few years, I've learned to realize just to let people do things at their own speed, even though part of me is saying, but if what I'm learning about the world is true, everyone should know about it. And the longer I don't say anything about it, the whole world could end. And so I've been thinking, I must, you know, do my duty and like spread this information. But people don't thank you for it, and you'll get a right slap from people. People, I think, need a bit of time to awaken to their own realizations, because actually the thing that I'm starting to consider now, JP, is that two or three different realities can exist simultaneously. Well, hundreds of different realities can exist at the same time. And so maybe we're all right and we're maybe all wrong at the same time. I'm just so in my own heart, things are opening up so much now that I really can't hold track of many thoughts and think that's where my thinking is at the moment. You know, I just have to be as flexible and fluid as possible. Yeah, I think this is going to be quite a hard time for people, because people are being forced awake. You know, they've been given this, you know, they've had their alarm clock set for a long time and they've just been snoozing it, saying, I'm not ready to get up yet. They've been having this giant lie-in, but now they have to get up, because if they don't, they are going to miss a boat, or, you know, they're going to be late for work or whatever. But they're going to have to get up.
The coffee is a thick paste on the bottom
of
the
machine. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the croissants aren't fresh anymore. You know, you know, they need to move. It's going to be really shocking. You know, when you have to get up really, really fast, so fast, you know, that you're still half asleep, it's kind of painful. So I guess I talk about stuff when people ask me about it, because I've been, I don't know, I'm out of the anger stage now, and now at the, okay, this is, you know, I realize that,
acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Yeah. It's just the, process you go through, isn't it? With anything like breaking up with somebody or people dying, any kind of life change. It is. Yeah.
It's all about handling. And here's the thing. This is my big thing. It's about handling grief. Because we have a terrible grief that we haven't really processed as a humanity. And perhaps this is part of it. Perhaps this is part of the awakening of who we are, is to the awakening of what's happened and why we have been in that Neptunian phase of, you know, what world am I in? This is very bewildering. You know, we were completely wildered. We're in a place where we don't recognize and nothing makes sense because our memory of what happened to us has been taken away or we've lost it or it's, and for some groups that is convenient, but it costs us. And when we find out about it, collectively, we're going to be very, very angry.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree. I think I'm pretty sure there's going to be lots more things that I'm going to come across that are going to make me seethe with anger. And then I'll catch myself feeling angry and I'll discuss it with my husband. We'll have a laugh about it after we've fired off about it. And we'll probably be angry for a few days or weeks or months. I don't know. But we're practicing like trying to stay calm and stay in a place of love, which is, you know, not that easy because we're human. But yeah, I think there are going to be some things that are going to be really shocking. I can only imagine the kind of things that might come out. But I don't know. I think we've got to rip the band-aid off now. You know, it's I think most people are aware that something's afoot. Something's growing. There is this discontent, and I think most people realize. I realized, like, when I was about 6 or 7, things just didn't make sense to me. I kept thinking, what? So I've got to go to school, and I've got to do this, and then I've got to go to work and work, what, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and I'm going to have to work a little bit harder of a year because the conditions of my survival are going to get tougher. Wow, that just doesn't make sense. I was thinking, how can something as precious as life be boiled down to such a dismal experience of life? It made no sense to me at all. I'd look out at the trees and the animals and look at butterflies and bees just being free to be themselves. And I think most people can't even consider it, JP, because we've been sold this idea of what a good life looks like. And for instance, like my parents, or like the baby boomers, for instance, you know, they're all nicely, neatly retired, and a lot of them have got a nice bit of money, and they've paid for the houses, you know, they don't have to pay mortgages anymore, and they can go on a few nice holidays every year, and they can enjoy themselves. And they have these platitudes of, oh, well, if you work hard and you stick at the same job, you'll have the same, but you have to put the commitment in. And anyone that doesn't achieve that somehow has failed their system. But I don't think they realize that actually the system's flawed and it's just a huge pyramid scheme. And they were fortunate enough or unfortunate enough, actually, to get in that pyramid scheme right at the start, or not right at the start, but more at the start than we ever were. And they've done well out of it. However, for them to do well at it, they've kind of screwed us out of our own, you know, opportunities as well. And they've empowered us to get on that pyramid scheme. And I think for people like that who've reached a certain period in life where they don't have to work anymore and they've got this money and they've got a level of comfort, trying to persuade people like that to even consider looking at life differently, they're not going to. They will refuse unless they start seeing that their grandchildren, their great grandchildren are hurting. Their own kids are hurting. You know, once they start seeing the collateral damage of that, then they might consider it. But, you know, we've got a generation at the top with tons of money and loads of time. And then we've got people, we've got kids at the bottom that are going to school and they're being tested like crazy. They're having all this pressure put on them that they've got to achieve this, this, this and this. Their time is so neatly organized. So they do activities and outside of out of school activities. And then, you know, when they're a bit older, they're doing volunteering and this, that and the other, everything. So you've got these kids that are time poor. So you've got, you know, people with loads of time and money at the top, and then people at the bottom with no opportunity and no time at the bottom. Now, that kind of disparity is just wrong. It's completely wrong. But you try and get those people at the top who have a lot of influence. You know, why aren't they standing up and going to protests and stuff? Why aren't they using their time volunteering? Actually, I mean, I know loads that do. And so I don't want to, you know, cast aspersions on a whole generation and put all the blame on them, because it's not. They were sold this plan, and it sounded like such a good plan that they bought it, and they've gone with it, and they can't see anything beyond that, I don't think.
This is the problem. Well, you know, everybody's terrified into their world. You know,
yeah.
Into those bubbles are the last resort against insanity.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody lives.
Yeah.
And these bubbles are about to burst, it seems.
I think people that have had some kind of crisis in their life, like going through a divorce or, you know, having some real structural changes in their life, being made redundant and things, losing a house, have already gone through a certain amount of identity shift that they might be more open to recognize where things don't work. But for people who have gone through life and been successful by society standards, I think it's going to be really difficult for them to see anything else, because they'll be comfortable. And, you know, like, they're not going to want to consider that maybe being able to buy things when you want to might be kind of wrong at some level. You know, I don't want to be judgmental, but obviously I've just done a really judgmental.
Well, let me just.
I've passed the blame to everyone else.
Well, let me just take it into a couple of different layers here.
Yeah, do,
because,
please.
You know, because one of the things you were saying, you know, that generation somehow has sold out our children. What was going? Well, I mean, let's just take that and metaphorize it. That later, that in the secret projects and in the secret government, they were making deals with extraterrestrials, and they sold the human race out.
Yeah.
Right? And they allowed the Greys to come in and take their samples and all their stuff and, you know, go through their process and even protect it. And they're still doing it to this day. And that's got to stop, because, you know, that's not going to do anybody any good. And the Greys made their choices, and that's why they're Grey. You know, they chose not to have the heart. That's, you know, we suffer from our heart, but it's our greatest, it's what will take us through into the next 1,000 years of human evolution.
Yeah.
It's where that brain is. I mean, who was talking about this today, or even last night, is that, you know, there's so many brain cells in the heart center, in the, you know, this heart part, you know, the torso of the brain, of the body, that it has its own thinkage. And this is what you're talking about. This is, to me,
yeah,
what I call feeling is the thinkage of the brain. Yeah. The thinkage of the heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that heart math, isn't there?
Oh yeah, Greg Braden's all into that, isn't he?
Yeah, there's loads of people that have studied like the energies of the heart,
mm-hmm,
and what, you know, what gets put out and stuff. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about this all night long, JP, couldn't we? We could talk about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean,
but we have only got 1 week until this event. So the thing is, how do we prepare people? How can people prepare themselves for this upcoming event? Basically, it's about how do we become more honest with the most honest we can be with ourselves will allow us to pass through this with the least resistance. How about that?
Well, I think, and this is just my view. I'm not an expert on anything. I don't claim to be. My thinking on it is that we have to be responsible for ourselves fully first. And if we are living in a vector-based universe, it all starts with us and ends with us. So it's important that we are truthful and honest with ourselves. And when we sense that we're being defensive about something, that's a place of healing for us to look, like, you know, have to think, well, what am I defending here? Is this my identity that I'm defending? There's, someone's pushed a button here. What's going on? I know in the past when I've got defensive about things, I've, you know, criticized the person that's made me feel defensive, but it's nearly always, something for me to learn. So I think it, the buck starts and stops with us. And that's a really tough thing to say because, it doesn't really give people that much room for compassion. Because, you know, people who realize that maybe they've been lied to all their lives are going to be fuming and think, well, how can it start and end with me? I don't know. I mean, I'm not really looking to give answers to how we solve the problems because I just don't think I can. You know, I mean, my idea of what the world should look like is that we're all sovereign, but I can't see how we can go from where we are right now to being there overnight. It's going to be a process of change and it's going to take time. I've been sort of preparing myself, I guess my whole life, but really in earnest for the last 7 years. When, you know, I came across, you know, I went and did a bit of a recce. I lived in Indonesia for a while and met some really cool people. And, you know, I went to this sort of, like a film group and we watched some different films, films I'd never seen before or heard before. And I'd never have come across if I hadn't just stepped outside my comfort zone and gone somewhere new. All of a spiritual nature. And it was just what I needed really. And it challenged me to the core, you know, just starting on fluoride, for instance, and going from there, you know, there's so many different
things. All right, do you want to list out the topics that, I mean, there was a series and they, each one awoke you to, obviously there was one about sovereign versus, slavery and that, you know, license and the law and things like that. I mean, there's certainly several, stages in this particular kind of awakening as well, aren't there?
Yeah, I think at the moment people are getting the bum end of the deal because what's going on with Trump and Theresa May and, you know, just what's going on with world politics at the moment is really polarizing people. And, you know, I'm looking at it and seeing the media is just whipping it up. And obviously the media don't like Trump because, I don't think he can really be bought. He's so wealthy, I don't think he actually really gives a crap what people think of him. And what a great position to be in. You actually need somebody who doesn't care what people think, so is able to make decisions. And I'm not necessarily saying he's the right person or the wrong person, but he's the person that's creating the energy. And thanks to the media who are kind of helping, is stirring people up. It's getting people to think outside what they normally consider as relevant for their lives. Lots of people have been asleep and not caring. Now people are caring and maybe people are being a bit clumsy about the way they're expressing themselves, but they would be because they're roused to anger and fear. And they're starting to think, geez, this politics thing could really ruin my life. And like for the next seven generations, I think what you said there, you know, sort of about 20 minutes ago about we need to be planning from a position of how things work seven generations down the line, I think that's the right way of doing things. We're in such a rush to enjoy ourselves and we're not considering the inheritance of our children, our grandchildren, etc. I don't know. I just think it's basically we're kind of knocking a wasp's nest around with big sticks at the moment. And that's what's happening.
Yeah. Always a good idea. Yeah,
there's a couple of big kids like sticking things around. I mean, I think, if you were going to go softly into it, you'd want to see something like What the Bleep and, maybe The Secret, you know, so you start like awakening to the idea that what you think about, you bring about. That's certainly true in my life. And, definitely the more I've sort of practiced, manifesting things, the more fun I've had with life and I've sort of played at it. Like listening to Abraham's always quite an uplifting experience, really. Seeing their level of detachment actually is kind of cool as well. And then God, what was it that I watched?
I have to say, I really love, the humor because to me, light is light is light.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're, you know, if you're talking about something that is, you know, of light, it will be, it will have levity in it. You know, you, it's like people, you know, people learn much easier if you tell them a joke. Or you make up a song with funny words. You'll remember everything, you know. And like, you know, everybody remembers the words to the Yellow Submarine. It doesn't make any sense unless you really, you know what the story's about, which is rather grim and sinister. But anyway.
I think Tim Minchin's pretty cool, actually. Like, yes. Tim Minchin tells it like it is. I like his song for Palestine. He's pretty good. It's just really funny and really stupid. And or, you know, like, you're right, our comedians, like Bill Hicks. Get some Bill Hicks on.
Absolutely.
Get his little spat on marketing. I love that. I could listen to it again and again. You know, he really tells it.
He really nails it as well, you know, because he doesn't let up. You know,
no,
there's that thing where you just...
Kill yourself.
Really, I'm not being serious. I'm not joking, you know, just like, seriously.
Yeah.
Anyway, so meanwhile...
I do have a point, actually, as to what people should be doing.
Yes, go on. Thank you. Now we've found one. Good one.
I've got to it now. And I think this is probably why I'm a lot more relaxed about things now, because I realize I can only do so much. Right now people are awakening to the global issues, and that's exactly what, I think the leaders want people to do, is to get involved in global issues at such a big level, because it will be confusing and overwhelming and it stops people from actually taking action. All they can do really is sign online petitions, go to protests where they're going to get all sorts of radiation treatment from the services and get kettled and whatnot. And it's not a really great experience, I don't think. And there's loads of, you know, provocateurs being planted in those
as well. That's a way of doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, right now everyone's awakening to this like global catastrophe, and quite rightly, because it's something new and exciting and it's really important. There's a shock value. People are in this place of anger. But actually, I think what people need to do is just on a day-to-day level say, what can I do to be of service within my own local community? Who needs my help right now? And I think just being present in your own community is what we need. And if everyone did that and actually started taking note of who their neighbours are and getting to know each other at a local level and trying to help each other, then things would change a lot more quickly, because I don't think what's going on in this world can be resolved at a global level. I mean, how the hell can it? Like, I've sent 7 or 8 emails to my MP, my local MP, who is supposed to be doing stuff for me. I've not had a single response. I had one out of office once, and they're on 7 or 8 separate issues. I've not had a response. So if I can't get a response at a local level from my MP, then A, what the hell is she doing? But B, why am I expecting somebody to solve my problems and vote, make decisions for me? Why? I didn't elect her. I don't actually care about her. You know, as a human I do, but, you know, why don't I just get together with some people and start changing things at a local level? And that's what I've started doing, really. So I don't have to stand in the cold and protest. I don't have to, sign online petitions. I've stopped doing that, actually, because it made me feel bad. It got me angry. It didn't put me in a place of love. And instead, what I do is I get involved with a bring and share where, once a week, people from around the local area bring food and we share it. And we all eat as a community. We've got communal gardening things going on. We seed share. We do all sorts of things. We've been building bird boxes and hanging them up and planting trees and doing great stuff. And at a local level, then you can feel empowered. And that would be my advice to most people, is just learn how to live with each other. And, you know, that way you don't even need to know what somebody's politics is. So you know whether you agree with them or disagree. When you get together with people in the community, you just learn that people are different, but you like them anyway. But, you know, I'm going off on one again, so.
Oh, no, it's nice to like people. I mean, most of the time, a lot of internet radio is people moaning about people. And, yeah. You know, we don't have to do that.
People are really good. People are really good. And I think also if you're able to work with people at a local level and just enjoy yourself with them, that's when you've got that level of relationship where you can have some kind of influence with them. You know, I could be on Facebook all day spouting off about stuff, and it would only really ever reach the person that's open to receiving that message. Whereas, you know, with some of the guys I've been working with and eating with over the last 2 years, we might only just be getting talking about something that's going on in the world now. And we'll be talking over dinner and we might have a robust conversation and disagree with each other. But because we have been volunteering and sharing food for 2 years, we'll give each other the time of day. You know, we've accumulated enough trust in each other to think, you know, I might as well just suspend my anger for a moment and just see what happens.
Yeah, and it may be possible to feel the anger but not actually react to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Breathe your way through it, and allow it to be, and then see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, totally. Have you ever come across the work of Brad Blanton?
No.
He worked as a clinical psychologist for years and years and just got really sick of all the BS and just said, I can't take this anymore. And he has written this fabulous book called Radical Honesty. And my husband and I read it together. And he had these like exercises for couples, and Carl said, look, I would really like us to go through this process. So I was like, no way. Yeah. But basically this guy says, you know, all of our guilt and shame and anger and hurt and resentment is because we've learned to lie about things, and we've learned to tell lies, as a culture to protect people and to do this, that and the other, but it's bullshit. And we need to be radically honest. We need to be absolutely honest. But stick around and care enough to clear up the mess. And so that's how we kind of live our lives with each other. We try and extend it out to friends and family and stuff, but you can only really do it when people really want to be engaged in it. But Brad Blanton, he tried to get into politics, and the news anchors obviously found him quite amusing and said to him, so Brad, have you ever taken drugs? And of course, because he's radically honest, he said, yeah, I've done LSD, I've done this, I've done that. And they've asked how many times he's been married, and they ask him all these stupid questions that really don't make any difference to how integral and effective and brilliant he might be. But they ask really stupid questions to make him sound like he's a party animal or someone that's not very good. And he's just radically honest. And I think if people could be okay with being honest, but stick around to clear up the mess, what wonderful things happen is that you learn to trust the people that you're engaging with, because it makes it okay to disagree. And once it's okay to disagree, you don't have to get angry. Like, all the time you have to hide what you're feeling, it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And then the only way you can let it out is by going completely crazy one time and possibly ruining a relationship. But, you know, if you're radically honest but stick around to clear up the mess, then you never build up so much level of resentment that things go past it.
That's the thing. That's the thing. It's being able to take each other in bite-sized chunks to be able to digest their life. Because, you know, when you're in a relationship, you have to you basically eat each other's energy and process it and then somehow merge and live with it without.
Yeah.
But you know, if somebody's got staff, it's unpalatable. It needs to be kind of opened out, maybe fed to the flowers a bit, and then eat the flowers or eat the yeah. vegetables. But generally, it's the lack of the oxygen of truth, as you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The lack of transparency. And that's what's going on with astrology right now, JP, is that there have been these releases. Like, we've had stuff going through Pisces that has deliberately made us think, oh, that's a bit illusional, and oh, there's some lies, and oh, that's not quite right. And then we've had Uranus going through Aries for quite some time, really making people strive for freedom and the idea that they can be open and honest about stuff. And so we've had this going on for a while. People have had the opportunity to practice honesty, and it's not really come out so much. But now we are at this time astrologically where the crap is coming out. The darkness is coming out and we are processing our darkness, you know, and so like our lies are coming forward and they need to be, almost like not reacted to, just listen to, like you said, you know, breathe through. And I do believe that there are people out there that are, like the canaries in the coal mine, the really sensitive people that are actually picking up on other people's tension and they're processing pain and anger for the rest of the people that are keeping it hidden and not processing it. There are people processing other people's pain all around the world right now. We're all involved in it.
That's right. And that's why empaths are kind of suffering.
Yeah.
And it might not necessarily be attack. Here's the thing. When people talk about, oh, I'm under psychic attack and all this stuff, we have to understand that we've asked for certain training. And in a way you could say this is on the job training, folks. Just deal with it. It's not such a compassionate way of looking at it, but we've all got stuff to deal with. And until everybody who needs to step up has stepped up, then other people are going to have to take up the slack.
Yeah.
And they have to deal with the unprocessed energies of the people around them. That is the, what could be called demonic forces or you know, neuroses or whatever you might call people's stuff. You know, you might give it these different names, but it's all the same stuff and it just needs to be processed and breathed through and then purified and returned to source. Yeah.
Yeah. I would totally agree with that. Oh,
we agree so well.
Yeah, we do.
It's really easy to agree when everybody knows what's true. And if everybody's voicing the truth, then it's really easy to agree. It's not like we have to debate anything because it's obvious.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say true. Cause I guess this conversation that started off astrology has gone through, you know, what is truth and integrity and stuff. But actually I just have to ask myself, does it feel good? Am I enjoying myself? Does it feel good? Mm. And if it doesn't, then something needs to shift. And I think, why doesn't it feel right? Ah, I'm not in my truth. Mm. And so and maybe I'm just a selfish person that just wants to feel good all the time. But, you know, if I don't feel good, then I think I've moved off my alignment. I need to find the next easiest way to get back on. And sometimes I might have two decisions, like, what do I do? And I think, which one will make me happier? Not which one's the most truthful. Because I don't know, truth could be different for different people.
It depends on your soul ray, really.
Yeah.
You've got a soul ray of two. And
have I? How do you know that?
Oh, I doubt it's, I could have told you. Oh, sorry. Hang on, let's just see.
Is it on my date of birth?
No. So you see your energy. I read your energy directly. I tune into your monad, which is your highest spiritual self. Like, I tune into my higher self, who then, goes and fetches your records and or whatever, or choose to. I mean, basically, it's like looking at what color, it's like seeing what color somebody is, and it's like their telephone number. You know, it's like 327-643, or something like that.
So, how did you know my number?
How do I know your password? Yeah. But no, in reading, your monad will be ray one, your soul will be ray two, and your person will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, of course. Ray seven. Now, the reason I say of course is because, with my ray, package, being 1, 2, 3, that has a complementary effect with anybody who's 1, 2, 7. And so it's like we always get on. There's a compatibility that just puts you at ease. It's like, it's the, all the things that you can do, I can't do, and all the things I can do, you can't do. So there's mutual respect and, understanding that you can work together, you know. It's like we won't get in each other's way, that sort of thing.
Oh, I'm very happy to step out of the way when I become an obstruction to progress.
Good, good. Good, good. So, so we've got about 15 minutes left. It's been, a zippy show, and,
would you like me to do a reading?
I was just going to say, we haven't had a chance to do any of the reading. So has anybody got, right, okay, so.
I might have actually put people off, from trusting me as an astrologer now.
Well, let them just make their own choices, because this is what it's all about. You make your own choice, and, so what I'm going to do, somebody left their details in the chat room.
Okay.
But until so, I mean, you've got my details. What's going to happen for me in the next week? In the next 2 weeks?
Next 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Crikey, let's bring up your chart.
Okay. Over this eclipse period thing. While I'm finding the thing.
Okie dokes. Right.
Okay.
What I like about what's going on at the moment. You know what?
What?
I'm sounding like I'm really from the southeast of England now, aren't I?
You know what? Because I'm from the southeast. I'm from Bethnal Green. I am really from Bethnal Green in London.
From Medway in Kent. You've actually got Uranus going over your descendant at the moment, which is the part in a chart that represents everything to do with everybody else and not you.
It's so all their fault.
It's relationships, it's other people, it's like a huge antenna for everything that is not you. Packaged in your body.
Right.
It's called your descendant, and you've got Uranus on it, exactly on it at the moment. And when you think about the solar eclipse that's coming up, you'll have Mars on it as well. So over the next 2 weeks, I think your desire for freedom is going to be an all-time high, and your need to be around open-minded and expansive and creative people is going to be absolutely paramount. I think when you're not with people who are expansive in their thinking, you will just want to curl up and die, or just literally just stand up and walk out of the room. It will make you more abrasive and a bit more abrupt, but I guess you don't have to put any airs or graces. You've got to a stage in your life now where you realize that it's okay to be yourself, and it's okay to be truthful with the people that you want to care about. And so it's created this delightful new upward shift in your life where it's bringing in really authentic people and aligned people. Now, at this point in your descendant, you've also got your moon and your Venus, which are in a lovely little conjunction, I have to say. So you are a very loving person and somebody that really enjoys sharing your love with a significant other. It makes you deeply romantic, and having that all on your descendant, especially being in Aries, actually makes you very forthright as a lover and somebody who wants to and be protective. But I mean, you're really hands-on and touchy-feely and stuff, and that's all great. With Uranus, there's going to be some lovely moments of being able to bond with some real authenticity. So that's a really great upward shift. As Mars goes to meet Uranus on your descendant, this Uranus thing is going to be there for a while, but as Mars moves up there, you might be getting a little bit more argumentative. So I would just be aware for that. But Venus is hot on the heels. So Venus is going there as well. So I think what's going on is there's a lot of, there's a nice uplift in your relationships with friends, with lovers, you know, the people that you encounter in your life. You're going to have a lot of energy, a lot of nice energy to share.
Well, that sounds just like fun.
On a nice local level, that's great. You've also got Jupiter going through your first house, and Jupiter has just gone over your ascendant, but Jupiter is going retrograde at the moment, so Jupiter's going to go back over your ascendant. So it is a time of fun and frivolity, and it's a time when you're feeling more expansive yourself, and where you're realizing that you're a lot more capable of, you're realizing that you're more capable than you ever realized, and you're thinking, oh, I could do that as well. So there's all these new things that you're coming up with, and you go, oh, yeah, that's a new string to my bow.
That's funny, yeah, that's absolutely correct. Absolutely great. Correct. And it's like, oh my God, like everything that I want to do, takes time, and so there aren't enough of me, or, it feels like there isn't enough of me or enough, time and space to do the things, to do all the things. So then what I have to do is to, delegate to others these things, because I know that the things that I want to do are the things that need to happen, and it's to take up the slack of those who haven't done the thing. So then I have to find somebody else who can do that and take up that slack, you know? So it's kind of like
that. I mean, that's definitely one option. Another option I would give you, would be to think, okay, well, maybe I just let things go and just do the things that make me enjoy myself the most.
That's a bit radical.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is a time of letting go, and Jupiter over your ascendant, what a better time than to allow yourself to expand. I mean, I will say that when Jupiter goes over the ascendant, it can represent pregnancies, and it can also represent you putting on weight all of a sudden, because like the expansiveness in your ascendant is about your actual person. So there are other things, but it's also a time when people are a bit more lazy and a bit more, they want to eat nice things. It's a time when you treat yourself. So why not enjoy a bit of a holiday? You know, why be all work? It could be a time when you can expand yourself, in a way, beyond your, beyond all your projects. And ever, in actual fact, by giving yourself a bit of a break. As you give yourself a break, you might go ever beyond your projects in a completely new way, which when you're ready to resume, the hard graft, you'll be able to, you'll be revolutionized. And I don't know. There you go. There's other stuff going on as well, obviously, loads. Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, keep going. we got about 7 minutes left. I would love for you to keep talking about me and of course, we got people here. Here's one I found, which was, 26th of August, 1972, 11:45 at RAF Lynham, Wiltshire, England. And, that's very interesting, because I used to...
Male or female?
Wizard Moon... Don't know. Wizard Moon, are you male or female?
Date of birth, sorry?
26th August, 1972.
August.
So that's a Virgo.
1972. What time were they born?
11:45 PM.
And where were they born again?
Wiltshire. Okay. RAF Lynham. Oh, yes. An Air Force child, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so Virgo Moon in Aries with Gemini Ascendant. Okay, they've got Saturn right on the Ascendant. This person... with a Gemini ascendant and Saturn right on the ascendant. It's interesting because Gemini ascendants would normally be very, very chatty and favor intellect over heart normally. And they'll always be thinking about projects and quite busy thinkers and doing stuff. But having Saturn right on the ascendant will make them a lot more organized in the way that they go about things. And what I like about their chart in particular is that there's a whole bunch of trine energy going from the Saturn and the ascendant right up to the midheaven, right down to their air-based Uranus in Libra in the fifth house, which makes them, even though they're organized, it makes them quite eclectic with their hobbies and a little bit outrageous, a little bit out there, you know, very, very different, views on life. Now their moon is right at the first couple of degrees of Aries, which is actually quite a radical position to have the moon. It's like got the zero point energy, you know, right at the start of Aries, right at the start of Libra, right at the start. It is basically the equinox and solstice points, so the start of Cancer, start of Capricorn. They are, the first couple of degrees, I think, are very, very potent. So it's a very, very potent moon, and quite determined emotions and a lot of energy, to express themselves. But with Saturn there right at the start, which is interesting. I'm going to have to keep reading this as I'm just saying as I see things. Sure. And again, the Virgo sun is right at the beginning of Virgo. It's at 3 degrees. It's conjunct talent, and also conjunct Mars. And it's all square Neptune. Does this person want to know anything in particular?
Well, actually, she's not in, he or she is not in the chat room anymore. We're right at the end of the show.
Okay, so if I just, a quick 1 minute of advice. Is that okay?
Go on. So this is advice for Wizard Moon, who's probably, hopefully going to listen to the archive. So on you go.
What I would say is for the, they've got a load of stuff right where the, eclipse is going to occur. They've got Uranus, Apophis, Aeschylus and Karma, the asteroids, over the Jupiter and Aphrodite at the moment. It's in their fifth house. What's transcending this at the next eclipse is going to rock their creativity and send them soaring in a new direction. They've got the organization to be able to do it, and they have the desire to get their information out there. They need to use the internet, and they need to use social media as much as possible. The technology is there to help them get their ideas out into the wider public. So I'm hoping that's useful to them.
Fabulous. Listen, it's been a laugh. I want you back. Maybe, okay. You know, can you come back like every quarter or something? I have an Ayurvedic healer who comes back every season. Maybe I need to have you see, astrology is, that's like the weather report for the mind.
Yeah, so, I agree.
I think everybody's enjoyed having you on. I've certainly enjoyed having you on, and I'm not having you on, if you saw what I mean.
I've really enjoyed myself. I would be very happy to come on at any change of seasons or any solstice or, you know, any kind of event that you want me
Or maybe, yeah, maybe if there was a, you know, like we're in this moment, this astrological event, we're in the midst of two major eclipses with major stuff going on. Things like that. And there's going to be more because these are turning points in our world, turning points in our psyche. So, these are very important for us. And I need to have some grandstanding, and I really enjoyed talking to you. So Louisa Tanner Munson, please, your website, I'm going to have to, run the outro, but, your website and contact details, please. And then we'll,
it's terrible. I don't actually know what it is. I think it's louisatannermunson@wordpress.com. I think, but,
.wordpress.com.
That will be the one. Or Awaken Through Astrology, and it should take you to my WordPress blog.
Awaken Through Astrology. Look that up on Google. It will get you there. Thank you, Louisa Tanner Munson. We've gone beyond, certainly. Beyond.